back. WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are into January. You know, I'd love to sell you click here and we're going to Buffalo this weekend, or click here, we're going to Nashville this weekend, or we had a bye, or we were playing this weekend. It could be worse. We could be the Steelers or the Eagles, or, you know, some godforsaken team like the Cowboys losing at home. Luke Jones joins us now. It's all courtesy of our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Doing a lot of things right now and inviting a lot of our friends on. Bill and I have talked about the plague a whole lot, but also talked about solar, talking about all sorts of supply line issues. And my friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, who give me hot water and cold water and fresh drinking water. And I'm appreciative of my friends at Liberty Pure. Luke, football's happening. I'm thinking of going down to the casino this Saturday. I'm not a gambler, but I want to see what the action is. I want to feel like I'm in Vegas by driving down the, you know, Hanover, Maryland. So big appreciation to the Cordish folks and the Live folks for hosting my wife and I. Hosting, it sounds like I'm going to have a casino boss and all that. Like, this is what you do when your team's not playing. You watch the other teams play, right? And the game stunk last weekend, so at least I hope we get – better weather and better football this weekend. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, if you are betting, if you are wagering some of these games, you definitely kept your interest a little bit longer than you would have normally. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we had three games decided by 20 plus points. Tampa Bay, Philadelphia should have been. I mean, the Eagles scored a couple touchdowns late to make that look closer than it was. I mean, really, we had two close games. I thought the Raiders-Bengals game, while it wasn't perfectly officiated or perfectly played with some of the red zone opportunities wasted on both sides, at least that was a representative, good wild card football game. 49ers-Cowboys ended up being close at the end, but I think the story was just how inept Dallas was and how bad the interception was by Garoppolo to kind of keep Dallas in it. But just what, you know, as much as the NFL billed this as super wild card weekend with, you know, now we have six wild card games. We had the game on Monday night. A lot of non-competitive football where you had one team that completely outclassed the other one. And I think what really stood out in most of these games, and, you know, a couple exceptions, but I think the team with the superior quarterback, you know, really stood out. I mean, Joe Burrow was better than Derek Carr, although, you know, Derek Carr wasn't bad, but you look at Josh Allen, he was incredible. Patrick Mahomes, after the Chiefs got off to a slow start and you're kind of wondering, okay, are they going to let the Steelers hang around in this game? Well, order was restored there. Matthew Stafford didn't have to do it all by himself on Monday night because, I mean, that Rams defense just overwhelmed Kyler Murray, but, you know, quarterback gets a playoff win, first time in his career. And
by the way, it's January, right? We say pack your lunch pail, your running game, and your defense. You're talking a lot about defense right now. We can talk about offense and scoring points and stuff, but the 49ers are nasty, right? And the Rams are nasty. There's some defense being played here, even if it's the Chiefs on the Steelers and smacking Roethlisberger around. Obviously, whatever the Bills did to the Patriots, you talk about Josh Allen all day, but they didn't move the ball, right? So I would say defense this time of year too. As much as we'll talk about quarterbacks and Mahomes, I'll give you 5 minutes on that, but defense matters.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you need both. I mean, as much as we always get into these debates, and I don't mean we, meaning you and me, I mean in general, as far as defense wins championships, it's a quarterback-driven league. The answer is yes. You know, you want both of those things.
But remember those years the Colts would try to like win 48-41 with Peyton Manning, and it's really, really hard to do this time, to your point. Like, unless you play defense. I mean, we were in that Jacoby Jones game was a 50-50 game or whatever the hell it was. But by and large, I'd rather make sure the ball's not going over my head this time of year. You know, making sure I'm not the one giving up 35.
You at least need to be able to make some stops. I mean, you have to be able to do that at some key points in games. And we saw that. You mentioned San Francisco. They're the team that I think, you know, they were the one road team that won over the weekend. But, you know, they're kind of peaking at the right time. And, as you know, you love their running game. I mean, Garoppolo, you know, throws the really bad interception. But, you know, for the most part, their running game and their defense is going to drive the bus, and we'll see what it does for them as they go to Green Bay. But, you know, it really is You know, I mean, you look at the teams that are left, for the most part, the quarterbacks tell the story, but you're absolutely right. You got to be able to play some defense. You got to be able to make some stops. You know, you can't expect to win 42-41. You know, I think that's obvious, but you know, I think what's really interesting now as we kind of look ahead, you know, move past wild card weekend and look to the divisional round, we've got a really fun mix here. I mean, you have the old guard with Aaron Rodgers. You have Matthew Stafford, who finally gets over the hump and wins a playoff game. Tom Brady. I mean, I don't even call him the old guard. He's just, you know, the greatest of all time when you're looking at it in terms of who's done this the most and for the longest.
By the way, I had Greg Bedard on this week, you know, former Sports Illustrated, who's up in Boston at Sports Journal, just talking to him about this. But, you know, now that Brady's gone, the Patriots fans are watching him play and Gronkowski again. And, you know, I'm not saying imagine if you're a Patriot fan, you would have had a good time. But imagine, like, as much as we give the Ravens a hard time or, you know, hold them accountable, certainly whatever garbage the Orioles are, and you and I have gone through the left field wall all week, and I've done that. I had Rob Nyer on. I mean, I'm talking about the left field wall with everybody this week. And, you know, for me, the Patriots, the end of this book, where Seth Wickersham's picking up the divorce and Brady's continuing to stack up chips. And I thought about this the other night, and I don't want to be macabre, because I don't mean this in any, and you can take what you will about Bill Belichick, who's never been a jerk to me. The one time I actually interacted with him, he was actually relatively pleasant to me because I was from Maryland, and I saw his Maryland mask the other day. But the notion that if he doesn't coach anymore, for whatever, I don't mean car wreck. I mean, just whatever. Bob Kraft's had enough. They've had enough, and they want to move. If that's the last game he coaches, that would really be something. Because, like, I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, that was like a historic ass kicking for them. And I think so. When we talk about the wild card round, the game's not being very good. Sayonara to Ben, you know, whatever the Patriots, whatever that was, the Cowboys. I mean, there were some great storylines, even in the butt kickings, I think, at the end of the year, where you start to see changing of guard. Because at some point, Garoppolo, Allen, Burrow, one of these guys is going to win a Super Bowl, not named Brady. Now, Brady usually wins. You talk about how the quarterbacks have succeeded. You know, we can go through the bad quarterback, the Tony Eason's, and I mean, Dilfer won, and not only bad, I just mean not Hall of Fame guys. And I don't mean Flacco. I mean, out of the blue guys, one and done's. Like, if somehow Jacksonville would have gotten to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, right? Like, they came pretty close, you know, with a quarterback that you'd say, Blake Bortles, right? This is a time of the year where if Brady continues to add to this, Rodgers continues to add to this, but I am fascinated to see if a Garoppolo or a Stafford's ever going to win. One of those guys, Lamar too, right? I mean, all the young guard, but I don't know, man, beating Brady and Rodgers, you give me a dollar down at the casino this weekend. And now that I can bet $2 if I want, I'd be find it hard to bet against Rodgers and Brady this time of year. I really do.
Yeah, I think the same thing with Patrick Mahomes, unless he's going up against Brady. I mean, because Mahomes has done it now, you know, if you go back a couple years ago. But yeah, it's fascinating to see this. I think what's interesting, you know, because you mentioned Belichick, and you know, as much as we're not going to be talking about the Patriots because it's the divisional round and they've gone home, I think what's so fascinating is they had Brady for all those years, and you win all these Super Bowls. I think Brady went to 15 divisional round matchups as a New England Patriot. I mean, think about that. You know, not even talking about the Super Bowl, you know, on average going to a Super Bowl every other year, winning every few years, but just being in the divisional round that many years, over two decades. I mean, that's crazy. You know, you get to divisional round weekend, you're in the final four of your conference every year. And that's where New England was. But I think what's fascinating is they draft Mac Jones, who certainly did a nice job as a rookie. There's no question about that. I mean, it's certainly someone that
they were playing football last weekend and we weren't.
Yeah, no question. But I think what's fascinating now, after you had Brady all those years, and think about it, Brady had Manning for all those years as far as his biggest threat. Yeah, Flacco was in there. Yeah, Roethlisberger was in there, but a little more fleeting for those two guys. But his biggest contemporary rival was Peyton Manning. But now you look at the Patriots, as you know, Belichick says he's coming back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Mac Jones looks promising. Don't get me wrong. But you have Patrick Mahomes. You have Justin Herbert, who the Chargers didn't make it into the playoffs. But I think everyone says this guy looks really good. you have Lamar Jackson, who, oh yeah, has won a league MVP, and okay, the Ravens weren't in this year, but you fully expect them to be back. You have Joe Burrow now, who looks like, from an AFC North perspective, he's going to step right into that Ben Roethlisberger nemesis role. Almost going to miss a beat there in terms of just the rest of this division.
But Baker Mayfield,
Patrick Mahomes, you go down this list. No, I'm not putting Baker Mayfield in there. No way. I don't think he's going to be in Cleveland maybe beyond next year. I'm not convinced he's going to be there this coming year, but that's beside the point. My point is with Mac Jones and the Patriots, he could be pretty good, and he still might be sixth or seventh in the pecking order in the AFC, the way these young quarterbacks look right now. So that's a scary thought. If, and believe me, I'm not crying any tears for the New England Patriots, but it's more so a reflection of just how many good young quarterbacks are in the AFC at this point. To bring it back to the Ravens for just a moment. But yeah, you have that old guard with Brady, Rodgers in the NFC right now, Stafford, even though he hasn't been an old guard in January, but he's been around a long time. Garoppolo's kind of that in-between territory. But you look in the AFC, and Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Doesn't look like Joe Burrow's going anywhere. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going anywhere. I don't think Justin Herbert's going anywhere, although certainly you could talk about coaching there and the Chargers taking that next step. But got a lot of good young quarterbacks in the AFC. So
don't forget the kid in Jacksonville.
It's kind of wild.
By the way, throw him in there.
Well, they got to get everything else figured out before he can become a factor. I think I'm not disputing his potential, but there's a perfect example of if you don't have the coach and the infrastructure, quarterback's not going to overcome it.
Well, Miami just married their quarterback instead of their coach, right? I mean, for at least a minute. And you haven't mentioned Tannehill, right? Like, we haven't mentioned him. He's the bye week. He was sitting home watching everybody else play. I don't know that get to LA 3 weeks from now, Ryan Tannehill's going to be there, because it would always be perceived that it would be because of the running back anyway. But that being said, he's got to win two football games. I mean, and that's possible too. We don't even mention him.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the big X factor is not Ryan Tannehill. It's what does Derrick Henry look like? I mean, the expectation is he's going to be back. He hasn't played in a couple months. He had a foot injury. I mean, that's, what was it, a Jones fracture, I think it was, not a Liz Frank. But, for a running back, a foot injury, I mean, a foot injury is tough for any football player. What does that look like? Is he Derrick Henry prime form, or at least close to it? If he is, that really changes the dynamics of this AFC playoff picture at this point. As much as I think everyone's going to look at Bills Chiefs, and I think it's understandable considering it last year, that was the AFC championship matchup. I think everyone's going to view that in the same way, with apologies to the Titans, who took advantage of a very forgiving schedule to be the number one seed. So you give them credit, but I think everyone looks at Kansas City and Buffalo a little bit differently, especially coming off of their wild card weekend performances. But, also, don't discount Joe Burrow. I mean, it's wild, Nestor. I was looking at it. The Bengals win their first playoff game since January of 1991. Let's think about this. Lamar Jackson's not even born for another, 6 years. John Harbaugh is coaching at the University of Cincinnati. Ozzie Newsome is wrapping up his NFL playing career. Mind you, 1990 was his last season at playing in the NFL.
I wasn't on the radio, by the way.
The Ravens didn't exist. The Orioles were getting ready to play their final season at Memorial Stadium. I mean, like, this is a really, I was 7 years old. I mean, this is a really long time. So for Joe Burrow to do that, and look, I'm not saying the Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl this year, but that's really weird territory.
I think Terrell Suggs, those people excited about a playoff win. I'm thinking, I ain't never seen that before. That was something to see. I've been in that stadium a million times and I'm like, oh, okay. This is what it looks like. This is what they've been waiting. This is why it was always empty.
Yeah, no question. I recall what Flacco's final year. You and I went to Cincinnati for that week two Thursday night game. I think that was their home opener. They may have played at home in week one. I'm not sure. But either way, it's an early season primetime game. You're thinking people are going to be lathered up and excited for it and all of that. There were 20,000 empty seats there for that game. Against the Ravens, and they won that game even. But no, I saw Terrell Suggs tweeted late Sunday night, the Buffalo Bills put 47 points on the Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals are in the divisional round. we're living in different times, and you know, it's hard not to look at it and kind of say, yeah, that does sound a little bit different there. So, you know, I think we've got some really intriguing matchups as we get into the divisional round, but you know, you said it a few minutes ago, and it's tough to disagree until Rodgers is out, until Brady is out. And I'll throw Patrick Mahomes in there, even though he's younger, but hey, he's won a Super Bowl, which you can't say about these other young quarterbacks. You look at those guys, it's tough to bet against them. Although I do want to give Josh Allen credit. I mean, easily had the best performance of the weekend. I mean, he was fantastic on Saturday night. I mean, that was as good of a quarterback performance as we've seen all season, regular season or playoffs. So, you know, that's the Bills team that I think people are frustrated watching them, because they look like that, but then they'll go out there and they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars as they did a couple months ago. So just a very inconsistent football team, in the sense of you see them look like that against a really good team and just absolutely crush them, and then you've seen them kind of just sleepwalk through games. So you know, I think it's a really fascinating, you know, good storylines with each of these matchups. There's some historical flavor even when you consider, you know, I think back to Steve Young and Brett Favre going up against each other in the playoffs back in the 90s. So you got 49ers Packers renewed there. And, you know, Bills Chiefs, as I mentioned, AFC championship game rematch from a year ago. So it's fun. And you know, got a couple new teams in the mix there. And we haven't even mentioned our old friend, Eric Weddle, back playing for the LA Rams, which incredible. I mean, so much of that was injury driven.
Is there an ice cream tweet yet? Did that get put up yet or no?
See, he doesn't tweet anymore, so I'm sure he will have his victory ice cream, but I mean, a wild story.
You'll have to text him to find out what sprinkles he put on it.
Yeah, week. He played about, I think I saw the snap count. I think he was at 19, 20, 21 snaps. He didn't play in the second half because, I mean, the Rams blew out the Cardinals, Arizona looked awful. I mean, just awful. I mean, I like Kyler Murray a lot, but wow, that was embarrassing. That pick six he threw was as embarrassing as anything I've seen in the postseason.
Well, there's talk the coach might be in trouble. You start losing playoff games. Well, the Raiders fired Bisaccia, who was an interim guy and whatever. I mean, all of these jobs. I know you and I talked about Joe Ortiz. We haven't heard much about Wink or Greg Roman or whatever, so things are quiet. But it only takes weirdness to happen. I mean, that's why I mentioned Belichick. I'm like, yeah, he's coming back and whatever, but you know, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed next month and somebody has a cat fight and somebody disagrees at this point in the marriage. I don't, you know, Pete Carroll in Seattle, that was sort of wavering this week. So there's all of that going on this time of year. It's a messy time for the league. There's a lot that goes on other than these four games that are happening on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, there's no question about it. You look at the sheer volume of openings, and as you mentioned, there could be more, which is just crazy. I mean, we use the cliche all the time, NFL, not for long, right? But it really rings true when you look at some of these scenarios. I mean, look at the Raiders, everything they went through, with Gruden, with what happened with Ruggs. I mean, you know, they had another DUI situation with a player, and yet everyone else kind of the result they showed, and credit to everyone else there, you know, they didn't have anything to do with John Gruden doing what he, you know, saying what he said and emails and all of that. And guys just playing football, yet, you know, that they fired their GM, Mike Mayock, who, you know, he did what Gruden wanted. Right. I mean, no one thought that Mayock was actually
Mike
calling
Mayock
the shots.
Was never going to get a job being a general manager in any legitimate
understood. But
organization,
my point,
you know, which makes these renegade organizations more interesting sometimes.
Right. But my point is they make the playoffs. They rally from so much adversity that really had nothing to do with actual football being played on the field on a weekly basis. And yet they still throw their GM out, and I'm, you know, their coach isn't going to be back. You know, as much as he did a nice job in kind of rallying the troops, but it really just speaks to, I mean, change is just.
And everybody knows their lane.
The one thing you can expect,
right? Like even like it was the year Trotz won the Stanley Cup. He knew they were getting rid of him. Everybody knew it. It was open. And then they go and win the whole damn thing. But the Raiders, They weren't built to win the whole thing, you know. So the Bisaccia thing, now Bisaccia's out in the market and will get a job. Some, you know, not a head coaching job, but all these unemployed people, it affects every building. And I guess you and I talking about Ortiz, that's at the top of the Ravens building. That it really does affect it. And the league is about to go through a massive change where, you know, a quarter of the teams are gonna have head coaching changes, which Yeah, the tectonic plates are changing here underneath, as well as with Brady and Rodgers and, you know, where those guys are and Roethlisberger moving on the way out, but as well as some owners moving on the way out, too. Some ownership changes happening this year, too.
Yeah, no question. But and it's to take a step back, it's what makes me just shake my head then when you hear and look. Ravens fans are no different than fans around the league. You want to be in the playoffs. When you're not in the playoffs, you're unhappy about that. And I get that. Believe me, they lost six in a row to finish the season. I totally understand frustration and some anger and some wanting to know what the heck happened, even though to me, it's pretty clear what happened when you don't have your MVP quarterback. But, you know, people that just want to constantly call for change. I mean, you see that every year in the NFL, yet you're seeing these same teams every 2 or 3 years. And in some cases, it's less frequent than, or it's, you know, less frequent than that even. Sometimes it's every year. You're seeing the calling for change. And it's just like, you do realize there's a reason why they're changing their coach every year or two, or they're changing their GM every 2 or 3 years. It's because their organization doesn't know what they're doing. And they don't really value and recognize what it means to have an effective process and an effective organization and to have a chain of command and to understand the big picture and to make sound decisions, not just for the present, but for next year and the year after that and the year after that. Organizations that understand that are the ones that win consistently over the long haul. And the Ravens have been in that group. Now, have they been as great as the Patriots at doing that over the last 2 decades? No, no one has. But they rate favorably with just about anyone else other than the Patriots, which is what everyone else would say right now since going back to 2001. So that's where I get it. I've expressed concerns about Greg Roman, or I've expressed concerns about certain elements of you know, position groups here or there. But that continuity, really, there's value to that. There really is. And there's a reason why the Ravens don't have seasons like they just had very often. And it's not only about John Harbaugh or only about Eric DaCosta or only about Ozzie Newsome or only about Steve Bisciotti. It's all of them working in concert and being on the same page and having a similar vision and not to start throwing people off the wagon the first sign of trouble, the first, you know, unprecedented set of injuries that you have as the Ravens dealt with this year. But you know, I look at all these other teams just, you know, constantly firing GMs, constantly firing head coaches, and I sit back and I just say, why do you want that? Why do you want that? Do you really think it's that easy of just saying, oh, we'll just hire the next John Harbaugh, or we'll just hire the next Brian Billick? No, it's really difficult to do that and to find the right guy. So when you feel like you have the right guy, don't be so quick to throw him off the boat when you have a rough season. So that's just my little platform, you know, my little soapbox statement as I watch all these teams just fire coaches and, you know, just want to make changes at the first sign of trouble. I mean, you're never building anything. You're constantly in this state of trying to reset. And yeah, you might have a fleeting season where it looks good for a year, but you know, these teams that don't have any patience, you know, you're not going to sustain success over the long haul operating the way you do. And in most of these cases, Nestor, as you know, it starts with ownership at the top.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and anywhere. I'd say practice, but practice. We ain't got no practice right now. We'll be combining and Super Bowling and watching some football. All right, Bengals Titans. Who you got?
You know what? I'll go with the Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals too. I shocked the world. That's what I say.
If Derrick Henry comes back and is Derrick Henry, then that one changes because he's the kind of guy, and we saw this with the Ravens a couple years back. Boy, he can take over a football game, but I'm guessing he's not going to look like Derrick Henry. And I don't know. I just feel like the Bengals break through. I think they get to AFC Championship weekend and probably ends there, whoever they're facing. But you know, at the Bengals, it's a feel good story, at least for this year. Then you remember the Ravens have to start, you know, we'll be playing them twice a year again. And that's when you don't like it quite as much.
Do you know how many pigskin pick'ems I did and how many Friday football frenzies I did before the Ravens even existed? I did 5 years of it on the radio. Every Friday, we'd pick all the games. Vito Stellino would come in. Ken Murray would come in. The whole deal, right? So we have 4 games now. Casinos are alive and well. My dear friends at the Maryland Lottery. By the way, Luke, I got some Raven scratch off that you're not eligible because you're an employee of WNSD, Baltimore Positive. But I have these. So I got to get back out to Nacho Mamas and give these away. Guy won $50 at Costas. Like I gave it away.
$50
Oh yeah. It was like crazy.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I have some scratch also. I just want to say this, I'm going to be casinoing this weekend. So it is with great pleasure. And Kevin Burns' ears are burning right now for all the threats that were ever made at me about point spreads and locker rooms and injuries. And John's over there in the fetal position. Titans, 3.5 points favorite. I got point spreads on the show now. 49ers are a 5.5 point dog to the Green Bay Pack. That's an interesting line. Packers, hard for me to bet against the Packers at home. Just is weather, Rodgers, all that. And if they win big. But the 49ers are playing well. And I think Garoppolo will make some mistakes or whatever. And I don't think the Packers lose this week.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think the 49ers are that scary team that, you know, halfway through the season, you're thinking, oh, they're just, you know, they're chasing the ghost of where they were a couple years ago. But
by the way, that's
they're
why
playing
it's five
really
and a half,
well.
Not 7.5.
Yeah. They're playing well. And I do like that defense. I mean, that front. Green Bay's had so many injuries, and I know, you know, they've gotten some guys back on their offensive line, but you know, that's the one thing that could scare you, that 49ers pass rush, which you look at that and you wish, well, you wish the Ravens had something that looked like that up front. But I'm going to go with Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the league. Say what you want about him, about any of the off-field stuff or his philosophy on certain topics, but he's played great football. And I think that matters when you're talking about a matchup like that. Give me Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, to me, it comes down.
If I could attend any of these games this weekend, and I used to fly to all of these games, I was thinking about this weekend. I once went to a Tampa Bay San Francisco 49er playoff game in the late 90s. Steve Young, it was Tampa Bay's like one of their first big playoff games. Dungy, they gave away car flags. There were 65,000 people waving flags in everybody's face on sticks, and I thought, Bob Lefler didn't think this through real well for the Buccaneers at that time. Buccaneers are a 3-point favorite over the Rams. Rams are a little bit shorter rest coming across the country. I've got Brady mania. I seen Ryan Jensen. I think he got kicked in his spadoobies, if I'm not mistaken. Seeing him, you know, lathered up in pain. I sort of pull for the Buccaneers these days. And the Rams are interesting, too. They have the kid from Maryland that beat up on my Dundalk Owls. They have Havenstein. They have some local dudes as well. They have Weddle. I know you're all about the ice cream. 3 points. Yeah, you know, I want to see Brady and Rodgers play next week. I do. You know, if I'm going to sit on my couch in my new home, I want to sit and watch something like that.
Yeah, I just mentioned the quarterbacks. I mean, Brady, certainly, I trust way more than Matthew Stafford, who I do not trust. Although Stafford played well in the Monday night game, but I think what is concerning,
don't you?
I do. But I'll tell you what does change this one potentially. I mean, you mentioned Ryan Jensen. He's got an ankle issue. Now, he didn't miss any snaps, but Bruce Arians has said that could be touch and go. Wirfs, the right tackle they lost, who he temporarily came back in that game, but had to leave again.
And they, the Chiefs last year, had an offensive line of full stability. They were really healthy before. You talk about, hey, the Ravens were unhealthy from the beginning. You can be healthy until the third week of the playoffs and you lose two offensive linemen trying to protect Tom Brady.
Changes everything.
And the poop can hit the fan, especially when you're trying to Aaron Donald on the other side.
Aaron Donald and Von Miller. So that's where I do have a little bit of trepidation. If you're a Tampa Bay fan, that offensive line, we know from going all the way back to his years playing against the Ravens, what's the thing that bothers Tom Brady as much as anything? Interior pressure, inside pressure. You know, if your defensive tackles can put some heat on him and get him off his spot, that's when he is not the normal Tom Brady. I mean, edge rushers, he gets the ball out. You know, he knows he has that sixth sense to get the ball out.
That internal thing with him at 45, clock. Right? So anything that messes with the timing of the same thing with Manning, you know, back in the day, everything's timing. Yeah.
No question about it. So I like Tampa Bay, but that is, if you're looking for a path that derails them, it's that offensive line situation right now with their health and with the Rams front. I mean, that Rams defense played fantastic football on Monday night. There's no question about that. And you know, I don't think it's because of Eric Weddle, to be very clear, but you know, they've got a lot of good football players. When you talk about Donald, Von Miller, who's not Von Miller anymore, but he's still pretty darn good. Jalen Ramsey on the outside. I mean, got some great football players on that defensive side of the ball, and they can make things interesting. And keep in mind, you know, no Chris Godwin, no Antonio Brown for the Bucs. They still have plenty of weapons, but not the number of weapons that they had 2 months ago. So I think that's something to keep in mind, but I'm not going against Brady. At least when you're talking about the Rams. You know, you want to talk about Rodgers going up against Brady. You want to talk about Mahomes going up against Brady in a potential Super Bowl rematch. Even Josh Allen, I'll give you that, but I just don't trust Matthew Stafford.
You're old school. You're all about the quarterback in January. It's smart. I mean, again, you know, other than Blake Bortles, I don't have a lot of examples of, you know, that sort of thing happening here at this time of year.
Sure. But I mentioned the path, though, for the Rams is that defensive line really taking advantage of a Tampa Bay offensive line that's banged up right now. That could be the difference. You know, if you're looking for, you know, what we talked about with the Super Bowl last year with the Chiefs, you know, you have a vulnerable offensive line that changes things, as we learned painfully here in Baltimore this year.
The perception that the Buffalo Bills have arrived, it happens when they're only a 2.5-point underdog in Kansas City. And it would be a, you know, reality for the Chiefs, having looked awful at various points this year. Maybe not now when it matters. Maybe they're like the old LeBron teams, just turn it on when you have to, right? 2.5-point favorite. That's kind of a fascinating line. And the Bills have changed what we think of them so far because of what they did to Bill Belichick over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to pick against Kansas City until someone in the AFC unseats them. I mean, we tried to do that when they were 3-4, right? I mean, everyone was ready to write them off, and, you know, Mahomes is turning the ball over and their defense looks terrible. And look, they didn't look very good in week 7, week 8. There's no question about that. But what has happened since then? Their defense has played better. That Kansas City offense, as much as everyone was talking about, well, Patrick Mahomes, he can't beat a cover 2 defense. Well, they figured it out. And I mean, it took them a little while to get going against Pittsburgh. And I think that's the thing that frustrates you about either of these teams, quite frankly, because I mentioned it about the Bills, but both teams have been guilty of not playing a full 60 minutes this year, you know, way too often, and leaving inferior opponents in games and whatnot. But, you know, give me the Chiefs. I'll take the Chiefs with Mahomes, but I don't know, man. Josh Allen looked fantastic last week. I mean, he was as good as you can be in that setting, going up against the Patriots defense that had played really good football for the bulk of the season. Although, you know, some talk there about some of the older guys fading down the stretch and maybe getting worn down, but
Well, keep in mind, the last time the Ravens played in a meaningful game in January, it was the Bills beating them, right? Like, period, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not like this is out of the blue with the Bills. That they're coming. They're coming, and we're going to find out if they arrive on Sunday or not, right?
Well, and to me, that's why this is the game of the weekend. I don't think it's even close. Now, will it turn out that way? I mean, we know how does it live up to the hype? We'll see, but the hype is fully justified when you're talking about these two teams, because I think these are the two teams more so than the Bengals or the Titans, or I mean, even look in the NFC. I mean, the Packers, they've won a lot of games, but they've done the same thing. I mean, the Ravens hung around with them and the Ravens were completely shorthanded. But the Bills and the Chiefs are the two teams that, when they're firing on all cylinders and playing their absolute best, they look darn near unbeatable. So, you know, we'll see. Does that version for either team show up on Sunday? You know, I think that's going to be fascinating. But yeah, I want to see Josh Allen try to follow up what was a near perfect performance. And, you know, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, it's a lot of pressure to stay at the top of the mountain. You know, I mean, again, everyone was trying to write them off back in week 7, week 8. And, well, you see what's happened since then. So
they have great players.
I'm going with
Kansas. They have a lot of great players. Yeah. They do, right?
I mean, no question. I mean, it's stating the obvious. I mean, you have a guy that's on track to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. They have a Hall of Fame tight end. They've got other Pro Bowl players all over the place. Their offensive line is, you know, that was such a problem for them last year.
Head coach is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the offensive coordinator, well, he's African-American. He might not get a job. Yeah. I mean, like, that's another story altogether, right?
I mean, I think he'll get a job. It's just a matter of he's not going to, I mean, he should have already had a job. Yeah. I think that's obvious, but he does a fantastic job. But I mean, they've got a lot of great coaches. They've got a lot of great players. And when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you know, hey, I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, and, you know, they were AFC championship before that. So you've seen them run things in the AFC the last 3 years or so. And I think that the Bills, can they unseat them? You know, it was the Ravens a couple years ago being the question, could they unseat them? And, you know, they have one regular season win against them. That's it. And the Bills, I mean, they came up short last year. We'll see what happens on Sunday, but very much looking forward to that. I mean, that's easily the game of the weekend, even though I'm looking forward to all four of these games and for different reasons.
Man, you're giving me some ideas now for the Baltimore Positive Pigskin Pick'em Weekend coming in September.
Until you see him 0-4.
Wise markets. it's all good. Luke is here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. We're talking to football. I'm going to be talking to politics with Don Mohler this week. We had a little hiatus on some of those conversations until next week. Did a great, great segment with Patrick Gonzalez from Gonzalez Research on polls and pollsters. Also, an incredible piece on media with Liz Bowie, who's moving from the Baltimore Sun to the Baltimore Banner. So lots of stuff. John Rand coming on talking sports business with me this week, as well as Marty Conway talking left field. Luke and I, Dave Ginsberg, formerly of the Associated Press, we talked about which cliff to sit on in the Grill Jamaica and which lobster, which spiny lobster to eat. We also talked some left field, as well as some Chirps and some Ravens. It's been a real good week around here. Rob Nyer talking about baseball and history and moving fences in and out. Greg Bedard talking Patriots and the Matthew Judon mystery. Lots and lots of stuff, all of it soon to be back out on the street with our friends at the Maryland Lottery, hopefully at Nacho Mama's, and letting ourselves play a little bit, but masking up right now, trying to get to the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks in L.A. I got my fingers crossed on that, and giving thanks to all of our sponsors as we enter a new year. Enjoy the football this weekend. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and our wise conversations can be found at BaltimorePositive.com.